Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up on today's program, we'll find out why many families living with autism are turning to therapeutic horseback riding. We'll learn how it's helping to ease many of their daily struggles. And we'll bring you the latest in the Accomack County arson investigation as police believe they have caught the masterminds behind the five-month-long arson spree on Virginia's Eastern Shore. Plus, we'll dissect some of the other big headlines in the region with Steve Green and the Maryland Coast Dispatch. But first, it was Election Day in Salisbury on Tuesday. And after months of heated debates and proverbial mudslinging in the press and online, a little fewer than 18% of registered voters came to the polls, and an overwhelming number of them chose incumbent Mayor Jim Ireton over controversial blogger and retired businessman Joe Albaro by a 2-to-1 margin, with Ireton taking a little less than 70% of the vote. In the city council races, the margin of victory was just as convincing for newcomer Jake Day in District 2, who trampled former council president Debbie Campbell, thus swaying the pendulum of the council majority. In District 1, incumbent Shaney Shields defeated both April Jackson and Cynthia Polk to retain her seat in the city's voting five. The election season in Salisbury was the tale of sharp contrast and differing ideologies, and that contrast was highlighted on election night. We'll start with the winners, who celebrated with hundreds of supporters. Mayor Ireton took a few jabs at his opponents in his victory speech, but for the most part, he looked with great optimism to the tasks that lie ahead.
My friends, elections are about voters telling the elected officials and the media what it is they want for their future. Salisbury spoke loud and clear today that they want progress over pontification and backbone over blogging. We also crossed the threshold tonight, where what Jake Day says to me is that it does not have to be mutually exclusive that we are good for business and good for our neighborhoods. We can be both, Salisbury. Yes, we can. My congratulations tonight to Shaney Shields and to Jake Day. Salisbury decided to send Shaney back to office because she has the ability to balance fiscal responsibility, neighborhood concerns, and know that we can do better for business. Congratulations, Shaney. Yeah. And even better tonight, even better, and he knows I feel like this because I've said it over and over, even better than my race, Salisbury chose to send Jake Day to sit in a seat that has been mired down with stalling and ideological roadblocks just for the sake of having one.
Truly, Day's victory over Debbie Campbell may prove to be just as significant, if not more, as the mayor's race, as far as the direction in which Salisbury goes from here. Day stormed onto the political scene this year, raising the most money and winning by the largest margin of all the candidates. But very few were happier for Day's victory than Councilwoman Laura Mitchell, who last week told me that she feels Salisbury has become an embarrassment throughout the state because of the political gridlock in the past few years. But now, after what she calls a trifecta, she's hopeful change is on the way.
I think everybody around us breathed the same sigh of relief that I did tonight. And I know that everybody from the governor's office on down is watching this tonight because Salisbury is the hub of the crossroads of Delmarva. And we're vitally important here. And we have been stagnant for too long, and it's time to move.
Day, however, was a bit more understated about his victory. But admittedly, he said he was most likely still in shock. I asked him when he knew that he had won.
When the first numbers started coming in,
yeah.
That was pretty clear. The margin was about the same. It was about a 7-2, 7-3 almost ratio,
yeah.
And it looked really good. So, yeah. Knew that we pretty much had it then.
There was so much conversation during this campaign about the two very different ideologies. Certainly, that was evident with you and your opponent, incumbent Debbie Campbell. What do you think about your campaign really spoke to Salisbury voters in the overwhelming majority that it did?
Yeah, I think more than anything else, it was that we promised to and were positive from beginning to end. We didn't change that at all. We're positive not only about our message, but about Salisbury, about Salisbury's assets and Salisbury's future. And I think people believed in that. They believed in what we were telling them and that we were going to follow through on it or put our shoulder into it at the very least.
Right. Now, with you being elected, this essentially sways or swings the pendulum from one council majority to another. Obviously, with that newfound green light, so to speak, rather than the culture of no, as the mayor has called it for the past several years, what's first on the agenda for this council?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, I prefer to look at it rather than a new majority as the what was clearly a voting block in the previous majority is now in the minority. But I don't see, you know, Ms. Mitchell and Ms. Shields and myself as really a majority. And I do think it will prove itself in how we decide on all the items that come before us. I don't think you'll be able to predict the outcome of every measure that comes before us as you could prior to today. That said, our priorities, you know, I think we'll have a permanent fire chief very soon. I think we'll have a downtown revitalization plan approved very soon. I think we'll have a tenant for the fire station downtown very soon. These are some of the top priorities that we've talked about in this campaign, and I think that we'll implement.
Across town, the scene was much different at the Albaro residence. There were only a few close friends and family with him as he read the results on a cell phone, and he realized the voting base of Salisbury had made their decision, and he was not it.
Oh my, Debbie.
Yeah, wow. Lost too.
Albaro has been a divisive figure in Salisbury for almost a decade, and while the bridges he burned in the past may have come back to haunt him a bit in his run for political office, he did win some new supporters because of the professional way he ran his campaign and the ideas he had for economic growth. But in his office, Albaro sat on a leather couch and he puffed on one of his cigars, and he was humble in defeat as he spoke to me about where he goes from here.
Well, there's a couple thoughts that come to mind. First of all, I want to congratulate Mr. Ireton and his team and his supporters, and I'd like to thank mine as well. But the bottom line is the citizens have spoken. You know, clearly they feel that the city needs to go in a different direction, which is perfectly fine. This is the great part about America. We have the opportunity for two people in the end to share their opinions. And hopefully, my hope is what we saw, Brian, was very, very different visions starting out in this campaign. Hopefully, everybody notices that my visions came to light to Mr. Ireton about economic development. And that is, to me, the biggest key, is bringing jobs and businesses to this community. His whole campaign from 50% on was based around that vision. So I appreciate the fact that he's picked up on that, and I'm going to hold him to that. And I hope the citizens hold him to that, because we need businesses and jobs, and that's a key factor.
What do you hope that Mr. Ireton does in the next couple years? Do you feel that your voice, your campaigns, your ideas for the city of Salisbury, that some of them may stick even if, you know, you're not the guy that's steering the ship?
Well, I certainly hope so. I hope this also humbles Mr. Ireton. And I think the Daily Times, you know, made an interesting statement about Mr. Ireton, you know, being immature, being, you know, sometimes having outbursts. Part of his growth needs to sit back and look at that and absorb that and move forward. Jim's a great guy. He's good people. He's a fun guy to be around. I certainly differ opinion-wise when it comes to his politics. And again, it goes back to that's what's great about America. We can agree to disagree.
Albaro had said throughout the campaign, both publicly and to me personally, that if he lost the election, he may potentially leave Salisbury and even shut down his blog. He even reiterated that to me on election night.
There's a very strong possibility, because I just can't see Salisbury moving forward. I really can't.
But yesterday, Albaro announced on his website that he has no plans to stop Salisbury News, and that he'll continue to do what he's become so infamous for in the city of Salisbury, and that's blogging. As for Mayor Jim Ireton, he was jubilant in victory, but he seemed focused on the future when we chatted after the party started to die down at the Holiday Inn on election night.
There wasn't the nerves of 2009. I didn't have those, but I was very concerned about the leaflet dropping from the Maryland Republican Party and then the robocalls from Congressman Harris. So in all actuality, honestly, Brian, the way that we did this scientifically with data and walk lists and getting all that information back into the computer and running the numbers, my team was about 10 votes off of where they said we would be tonight. So I'm happy about that.
So even with that anxiety that anybody would obviously have on an election day, especially when it's had this much contention, how confident were you as those first voters started coming to the polls? I mean, when did you feel like today was going to be your day?
This is the opportunity. What you had tonight was people who voted for people who hadn't usually voted for the same candidates before. And that tells us that Salisbury is ready to stop worrying about these polarizing figures and get down to business. As I said tonight, being good for neighborhoods and good for business doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. It doesn't. And we have the ability to move Salisbury forward and really reclaim that capital of the Eastern Shore, even though we already are with 150 people who come here during the day. You know, this is such a working class place. This is senior citizens. It's Latinos. It's African Americans. It's teachers. It's police officers. It's moms and dads raising kids. And everywhere that I went, in every neighborhood that I went to, people were so exceptionally nice to me. And I don't know whether or not they voted for me or not. I don't know whether or not I skewed all the numbers that the campaign said that I was supposed to do. Because, I just walked up to the door and said, "Hi, I'm Mayor Ireton, and I, there's an election coming up on Tuesday, and I hope you'll get out and vote." And people were just so genuinely appreciative that you would take the time to go to their door. I'm going to tell you this. I said this to you when we first started talking about this election. I would fight to the death for Mr. Albero's right to have that blog. I will do it. But I'm not going to let the right wing and the Tea Party decide that they're just going to roll into Salisbury and say, because this isn't the Baltimore-Washington corridor, we can say these things and it's going to take hold. What you found tonight is a group of people who really, the citizens of Salisbury, decided that whether it's activist government, whether it's taking an activist role in cleaning up the river, whether or not it's putting substations in people's neighborhoods, those are the things that people want us to do. In the end, we are the they that people talk about. They need to do something, and I'm right there with them.
That was Mayor Jim Ireton talking about his big win on election night earlier this week in Salisbury. We also heard from Joe Albero, Laura Mitchell, and Jake Day. Take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City. I'm Brian Russo.